breaking
news. We got
news
a little something. Yes. We got there, Huff.
You want me to try the bad news?
No, no. Just give us the legit. Yeah.
This is Mania. I think this is
Knicks are expected to land 2-time NBA Coach of the Year, Mike Brown.
Okay.
That's the and Begley just puts it there too. They're closing in on hiring Mike Brown.
There you go. I like it. I really do. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, Mike Brown to me with this roster and his offensive flow, it's at the very least a solid 8. And he's got a little personality as well, which is going to be required because now you're walking into a situation where you're expected to win. And think about when Tom Thibodeau got here. Like, the hard work is done. And Tom Thibodeau was a roll up the sleeves. I don't want to deal with the media. I'm not here for sexy quotes. Let me just do my job. Let me do the grunt work and get this thing built. And because he got it built fast and to a high level, he can operate with that personality even as the expectations raised. I think you need a certain type of personality, not to mention the offensive acumen that I think Mike Brown possesses both of. I like it. I'm happy.
I hate it.
I'm happy.
Mike Brown. Mike, that's what you come up with. You hired Tom Thibodeau, who built them out of he took them out of the abyss by building a foundation. You fired him with their words, the singular goal of winning an NBA championship. And this is what you come up with? Mike Brown, a retread? All right, that was us reacting live to the breaking news about Mike Brown. We'll finish up here on the phones, 888-808-1019. Much more to come on Evan and Tiki following us. Now, do you trust the Knicks and their decision makers?
I have learned to trust their decision. I never did for a long time. But yeah, I do. I trust Leon Rose. Provided Leon Rose is making all the moves, I'm not sure that he is because I don't think that he was the one who fired Tom Thibodeau.
All right, now I'm going to read you this and then tell me that if you what your answer is afterward.
Okay.
This according to Ian Begley.
Had Ian on yesterday. Been piped in.
The Knicks have checked in on Ben Simmons in free agency.
Okay, so now. No, hold on a sec. Before everybody laughs, I get it. What is he going to get? $3 million, Ben Simmons?
Now, I'm assuming they can't afford much, so it's got to be the minimum for the vet.
Exactly, because kid yesterday got 2 years, $12 million. He got about 2.5. I think it's the veteran minimum there. You're right. So before everybody reacts to the funky-looking free throws and he can't take a three, if you had Ben Simmons in the backcourt, I don't mean starting, a couple of minutes here and there with Jalen Brunson, and he can now play the point guard? And it's one thing he can still do is play defense. He's 6'8", 6'9". He's got long length. He's got length. He's got
Dude,
range.
Come on.
No.
I'll maybe meet you on Mike Brown at some point. Ben Simmons?
We're going backwards.
He's the biggest you-know-what in the history of sports, Ben Simmons.
Because you're judging him on where he was drafted, the contract, the injuries. I am now at a stage where I know where he is. He's basically a complete zero except defense. And what does this team need? Defense. He's 6'8", 6'9", dude. He can go back and forth between the guards. Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are small.
I'm going to clean it up because we're live on the radio. For the podcast edition, maybe we could use some different words, but he is the softest player that I've ever seen in my entire life in any sport. I wouldn't want Ben Simmons within 1,000 feet of the garden, let alone on the actual Knicks. Ben Simmons and his outfits? How many games did he actually play in the last 15 years?
Are you talking about what he wears?
Oh, my God, dude. He is. I want him. Get him on Fashion Avenue, not Madison Avenue. Come on. Or not Madison Square Garden. Whatever. Yeah, get the avenues mixed up.
I know what you're saying.
You get the point.
I do. I mean, the guy, again, I know we laugh here. I mean, look at it. I didn't realize. So he shot. Wow, he was up to 73% from the free throw line last year. Listen,
dude, come on.
No, he doesn't.
How many minutes did he play last year?
Last year, now remember, he split teams last year. So with the Nets and the Clippers.
How could I forget?
So he played 25 minutes a game for the Nets and 17 per game for the Clippers. And, you know, I mean, the thing that he doesn't do is take bad shots.
Yeah.
And you don't mind having just, as a matter of fact, he doesn't take shots at all unless it's a layup. And that is usually a recipe for, don't waste my time, dude. This is the modern NBA. But for a team like the Knicks, where you can now alleviate some of the pressure from Jalen Brunson, Ben Simmons, from a defensive perspective, Ben Simmons is also very capable of bringing the ball up the court. We saw what the Pacers did to him when they double-teamed him and they harassed him and they made him tired. I know you're laughing. Everybody's laughing. You know, for $2.5, $3 million, if it even happens, let me put it this way. I don't think it will happen, but I'm not going to go nuts at the prospects of the Knicks kicking the tire on a guy who is cheap as dirt and has a skill set that they need.
So just to be clear,
yes,
you're okay with Ben Simmons, but you want no part of LeBron.
Yeah, Ben Simmons didn't do anything to me, man. Like Ben Simmons, right. When he was drafted, didn't say I don't want to be drafted by the Knicks.
Unfortunately, dude, I will lose it if they get Ben Simmons. I hope they get him. All right, so we got about a minute or so to go. A couple of baseball notes that are important. Number one, Jeff McNeil. Remember, there's some history with the Brewers and McNeil.
Absolutely, with Reese Hoskins.
He just got drilled.
Did he?
Drilled. Like it looked like a. Hard to say it's a purpose pitch at this point in the game.
What was the count?
One run game. I don't know because I'm talking to you kind of, so I had it half watching it. But
was
I saw
it a fastball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Up and in, like near the head, he get drilled on the arm.
What was his reaction? Did he slam his bat like he usually does?
He laid on the ground like a little baby.
No, he was fine. Right. He was fine. He didn't like grab it or whatever. But Mets, you know, keep an eye on that. The other thing is, all's going to be okay with the Mets because Andy Martino reported that Frankie Montas was tipping pitches against the Pirates.
Well, listen, the Mets are very good at fixing that. We thought that Seve was doing that a year ago with the Yankees or 2 years ago, and the Mets fixed him there. So, you know, fix Montas from tipping whatever he's tipping.
Yeah,
I would say this. I wish we had a little more time because this would have been juicy to get into.
I know.
You got to drill somebody, man.
I know, but they got to win the game.
I don't care. Drill somebody. This team needs to find an identity here. And you can still go out and I hate when people say, win the game, or if you don't like it, get him out. You could do two things at once.
I know.
You could drill them, send the message, and still win.
But you got to prioritize winning the game and hitting a guy on purpose, putting him on base.
I was reading this morning, one of the writers was talking about how this could be akin to Joe Torre taking over the Yankees from Buck Showalter. Maybe not. We'll have to see, but it's a safe pick. It's not a pick that is wrought in controversy by any stretch of the imagination, other than the fact that we still don't know why they fired Tom Thibodeau. They've been building the roster. They have a much better bench, it looks like, right now, considering that they added two valuable pieces that are going to come off the bench. I think he is inheriting a team in a conference where there will be enormous expectations. And there will be pressure. Pressure is a privilege in this case because he doesn't have a bad team. He has a good team that he's inheriting that went all the way to the Eastern Conference Championship. So am I overly elated about this like I was about Mike Sullivan coming to the Rangers? No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just what I am is like, let's see what he can do. I'm not against it. I'm certainly not going to go against all the experience that he had with LeBron James early on in LeBron's career, his experience with Kobe Bryant, the fact that he's been a head coach in four different places. It's all a part of the NBA package. That this is what happens. And again, I don't want to use the word recycled, but it kind of feels that way to me. But it also feels that they wanted a guy with experience. They didn't want somebody that didn't have any experience. And at least I can sit here and say that his over 700 wins, the success that he had with LeBron, the respect that he has in the league, kind of reminds me of hiring Tom Thibodeau.
Yes, now they're different, right? So it feels almost lateral in a sense. Different type of guys, different type of philosophy. Obviously, Tibbs is a little more of a grinder, not from a work ethic standpoint. He's just, you know, always basketball. He holds himself up in a hotel room and doesn't talk to anybody. And I think Mike Brown's got a little more stuff going on in his life. And I think that kind of helps when you're a head coach, you're able to relate to the players. But it does feel lateral. I mean, if you go through the resumes, they are very, very similar. Now, Tom Thibodeau wasn't on a bunch of staffs that won NBA championships like Mike Brown was. And Tibbs didn't go to a finals, I don't believe, where obviously Mike Brown did with LeBron. But yeah, it's a similar guy. Now, the things that I really love about it is the experience. I mean, and we're talking top level NBA pressure experience that he has.
Yeah.
So when we ask for that in a situation like this, we don't want a first time head coach. When we ask for that for the Jets and we didn't want a first time head coach, this is the type of guy that you want, is someone who has been there, hasn't had the ultimate success as a head coach, but he's been there. The thing I don't like about it, though, is I really believe that because Leon Rose, whoever else, Jim Dolan, had a problem with the way Tibbs was doing things, that when Mike Brown is hired after all the, I mean, unless something big happens here, but most of the offseason is done for the Knicks, that if things are not going exactly the way they want, there's going to be a lot of influence from the front office, and that just creates a bad environment of like, you know, you're not playing this guy enough. You're not playing that guy enough. We didn't bring you in here to sit that guy. So I just hope the collaboration between these guys, because I don't know the previous relationship. Tibbs and Leon Rose had a relationship for years and years and years prior to this. So I just hope that this relationship is collaborative and not like I'm going to tell you what to do.
I mean, part of me feels like World Wide West has got his fingers all
over.
Well, yeah.
I mean, whoever.
And that's fine. I mean, look, he's going to be under enormous pressure. I don't know how much different his system is. You know, they all play pick and rolls. I don't know what, you know, his demand level is, which is going to be really important. By the way, he is inheriting a very good group of guys. And we've liked the team. We like the way the team has been built. I think we both like the additions here this offseason, free agency-wise. I mean, I know that listening to Evan and Tiki yesterday, they were talking about there was a potential that they were looking at Ben Simmons. And I'm like, you know what? I think we got serious people here now. I think we got serious players here. I think we have players like Jordan Clarkson and Yabusele who are going to understand their roles. They're going to be serious NBA off-the-bench players that are going to try to help this team get over the top. I just want serious players. I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking. And I hope that by adding these two guys, by adding Mike Brown, that the dynamics will change a little bit because they'll play the bench more. That's what I'm assuming. That's probably the biggest knock against Tibbs when he was fired. But again, like I said, yes, lateral move, but experienced, which is a good thing. Now it's a question of whether or not he's that much different than Thibodeau when it comes to offense and defensive strategy, systems, how they play, and then how they react to the way he is teaching them or the way he is coaching them to get what he wants out of them and where he sees the need for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of falls in the middle of the home run hire and then the crazy hire, because we had talked about both of those things. Like, the home run hire would have been to bring in Jason Kidd or get Jay Wright to come here or something like that. You know, the crazy hire would have been the Dawn Staley or that guy, Micah Norrie, who has never been a head coach, and he had to sound like he was from the South. Those things would have been the nutso hires. And this falls in the middle, closer to the home run than the nutso, but it's the safest. It is. It really is the safest hire, you know, which I'm encouraged. I'm not thrilled. I'm encouraged. But as far as the Ben Simmons thing, before I forget, they are clearly trying to find a point guard with experience to come in and run the offense when Jalen Brunson is on the bench, because they want to give him more time during the regular season to maybe rest, and they probably want to, you know, Deuce is a guy who loves to shoot. They're looking for, like, Russell. They looked at Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons, which are two guys who can't shoot but can run an offense and have NBA experience. So those two guys I don't want on the team, but what I'm pulling from that is that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench, and or if he gets hurt and they need to make sure that someone competent can be out there the whole time.
And, you know, if this whole thing is built around playing more players off your bench and less time on the court for the starting five, then the numbers for the starting five are going to be going down.
Yeah, I mean, that...
You know, the points, the rebounds, the assists, all the numbers that everybody looks at, could there also be a lack of an all-star player on the team? Because if you want to play guys more, well, I mean, depending on how much more. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like 3 minutes a game?
Yeah, I don't know. And I do believe if Tibbs had the bench that the Knicks have going into this season, he would have played more guys on the bench. He didn't have those guys. You know, when you had DiVincenzo here, you had Hartenstein here, those guys were playing. And I know some of it was dictated by injury, but those guys were playing. And also, on the flip side of, you know, the starters not getting as many minutes, if you think about it, I mean, it really impacts Mikal Bridges the most because he hasn't had that big payday yet, where you got Jalen Brunson got paid, Karl Anthony Towns has a contract, OG Anunoby has a contract, so Bridges is the one guy there. But what it also does is gives guys on the bench opportunities to showcase themselves when they hit the free agency, like Isaiah Hartenstein did, and he cashed in big with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So,
by the way, I mean, you know, they're sitting here. You know that Bridges is going to want an extension right now. And I think the max that they can give him is like 104 years, $150 million. I mean, you traded all these picks for him. And now he's here, and I, you got to believe his agent is in there saying it's time for an extension.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so that's another issue that you're dealing with right now that, you know, you probably have, you know, moved away from just a little bit so you can get the coach hired, you can get some free agents hired. And the question is, do they give him the extension and, or do they move him? Because you can't just let him go to free agency and not get anything for him.
Well, I mean, I would give him an extension if it wasn't the max right now. I don't think you can give him the max. He wasn't a max player for the Knicks last year. Great couple of defensive plays back-to-back in the Boston series in games one and two. You know, sometimes he would be finding that mid-range jumper and it would be the instant offense for them. But, I mean, you, if you're giving him the max, that's that to me is
a
mistake.
I'm just telling you what the player's thinking. I'm not saying that's what you should give them. I'm just saying this is what the player is going to be wanting. You know, it's the NBA, man. You know, all these players want huge dollars. They want their future secure, and I'm totally down with the way that they're thinking. I'm just telling you that's the way they're thinking.
So on the surface, you see LeBron James opting into his contract and 52.6 million dollar player option for the 25-26 season. You're thinking, okay, you know, LeBron James going to play another season with the Lakers and going to be there with Luka, and that'll be that, and maybe he'll retire at the end of the year. Maybe he'll play another one. Who knows? But then Rich Paul puts out a statement, and man, oh man, this says a lot. Quote, he knows, meaning LeBron, he knows the Lakers are building for the future. He understands that, but he values a realistic chance of winning it all. We are very appreciative of the partnership we've had for 8 years with Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and consider the Lakers a critical part of his career. He also goes on and says that they will be keeping an eye, and I'm paraphrasing this part, they'll be keeping an eye on, oh, here we go. We understand the difficulty in winning now while preparing for the future. Here's the exact quote that wasn't coming up before. We do want to evaluate what's best for LeBron at this stage in his life and career. He wants to make every season he has left count, and the Lakers understand that, are supportive, and want what's best for him. All right. You read into this. We want to evaluate what's best for LeBron at this stage in his life and career. We understand the difficulty in winning now while preparing for the future. He values a realistic chance of winning. What Rich Paul is doing is building the foundation to get him out of there.
Because he ain't going to win the West.
Bingo! The Western Conference, with the way that the Lakers are now, they are not beating OKC. They're probably not beating Denver.
Luka Doncic. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
Well, he is a good player.
Yeah, is like, it's amazing how great he is, and put him with LeBron, how could they lose?
Well, LeBron's 42, 41.
Yeah, Luka's great.
He is
awesome.
God. Well, you just want to derail every conversation with your Luka Doncic take. It's amazing. So,
well, I'm just saying, like, it ties into my LeBron take. Because, see, this is the thing. LeBron could have easily decided if he wanted to go somewhere else by opting out. And he didn't. He wanted the money. He wanted the $52.6 million.
That he could only get from them, right? Because
the only way he could get it is if he opts in.
Right.
If he opts out, then he's a free agent, and he can go anywhere he wants. Now he wants, this is what you call, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is what you call cake and eating it, too.
Yeah, of course.
That's what he wants. He wants his money, and now he wants to be able to say, you know what? Let's go to the Knicks, or could you see him going to the Cavaliers?
Yes, I could. I think that those two teams are the most likely landing spots for him. I'm going to finish my career in Cleveland, where it all started, and then, you know, they have a really good team, and maybe I could win one more championship, and how great would that be? Or, oh, hey, I mean, the Knicks are really close to winning a title, and the Eastern Conference is wide open because look at all these guys that went down with injuries. Oh, and they don't have a coach. So now I can go there and say, hey, I'll go to you guys if you hire this person as the head coach.
Maybe the Knicks could call up and ask for J.J. Redick.
We don't want that here.
LeBron wanted in L.A.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just we're calling around asking everybody about their head coaches and whether or not we can actually, you know, steal them and interview them.
Yeah, I think that there's still a chance that, you know, he's either campaigning for Giannis somehow. I don't know how the hell that would work. Or he's putting the pressure on the Lakers to do something specific that he wants done to that roster. And if they don't, and he's gone. He's going to go somewhere else.
For the Knicks to acquire him, they would have to trade to them either Carl Anthony Towns or Ananobi and, say, Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, looking at the money, I think that the Ananobi-Mitchell Robinson combination would probably make the most sense because we know how much this regime loves Carl Anthony Towns. And if LeBron and Jalen Brunson, you know, you need a big guy to be able to score, I think that that would be something that would be a prerequisite that Cat would have to stay here.
This could be an Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. This could be a Verlander and Scherzer to the Mets. This could be LeBron James to the... I mean, no, 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 and no.
Yeah, I...
Don't do it. The game, if the Oklahoma City Thunder taught anybody anything about this game, younger, faster, more athletic is the way to go. Not older, slower, and ball heavy players.
Well, I mean, and add to that, I mean, obviously Oklahoma City was younger than the Pacers, but the Pacers still, you know, quick, young, a lot of guys flying up and down.
And you don't need a big three. Like, you know, I guess you could, I don't think the Knicks, I don't know, do you consider Ananobi and Towns and Brunson the big three?
No, not in the sense of what we've seen before in the past. I mean, it's just three best players, but it's not like, you know, Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce back in the day.
The thing about it is, you know, all that drama, all that nonsense, all that comes with that player. We've just seen two teams go through it.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if LeBron is looking at the Knicks as much as he'd be looking at the Cavaliers, but just like think about LeBron James throughout his career and where he's gone and the things that he's wanted to do. And he's right here at the end. He's made all the money, and he's opted in. And he's thinking, I want one more chance to win it. If you got one more chance to win it, are you doing it in the Western Conference?
If he opts in, well, he did opt in. Opting in means that his agent couldn't generate enough interest in him for him to consider opting out. That's what I
think.
Yeah,
no one else was going to pay him that money. Yeah.
Right, so Cleveland, I mean, they could have said, hey, we'll give you 2 years, $80 million, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Kind of like what just happened with James Harden.
Yeah, but then again, I mean...
But James Harden actually got a raise. In this case, LeBron James would have to take less. But then again, no matter what team, if he does leave the Lakers, no matter what team he goes to... It's going to be a thing. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to be season tickets. It's going to be, this could be his final year, one of the greatest players we've ever seen. Would the Garden and Jim Dolan go down this road? Oh, please don't. Please don't.
The old Knicks, yes, that's what they did all the time. Now, we thought that we were done with that. We thought that they were making smarter decisions.
They haven't made this decision.
Right. But you're asking me, would they go down this road? So I'm explaining, you know, if you would have asked me that 5 years ago, I said 100% they would. Now, I'm not so sure. Because prior to the firing of Tibbs and the way they've gone about trying to find their new head coach, I was all in on everything that they were trying to do. But this Tibbs firing is just so bizarre and so weird. And the way that they're going about, you know, finding the next guy makes me think that maybe they are that desperate and out of control right now that they would do something like this if Jim Dolan is calling the shots, like a lot of people believe that he is once again, and came in and made this Tibbs thing about him.
Overall, I really thought this team played well together. I thought they came together later on in the season. They were much better later on, and definitely in the playoffs, than they were early on, because it took a while to figure everybody out and, you know, who's handling the ball, who's shooting the ball, you know, all that kind of crap that goes on in the NBA. Man, if you brought LeBron here, that would upset that whole situation.
I mean, I'm going to duck after I say this. But it could work. You know what I'm saying? Could. Not likely, but
they
could.
Get a coach that doesn't preach defense.
Yeah.
Have you seen his Matador defense?
Well,
Clyde Frazier, you know, would call it. Oh man, what I would give to hear Clyde discussing LeBron. Now, I will say that LeBron usually goes off in Madison Square Garden, but can he do it 41 times?
And by the way, he did still look unbelievable last year.
I'm not saying offensively, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many guys are great defensive players in the NBA these days? It's like,
what are we screaming about against Indiana and Boston? Covering the three-point shot.
Yeah, no, I understand. I would not go ahead and do this, but I'm telling you right now, somebody can be in that building over there can be convinced of this. Especially, like, so, and you think about LeBron and the big splashes and stuff that he does. So, you know, going to Miami in the way that he did it, then going back to Cleveland and winning. And then he's like, okay, you know, I'm going to do another big splash. We're going to go out and play for an iconic franchise in L.A. And now he's tired of that now. He's tired of it. He doesn't think he can beat the best teams in the West. He's sniffing around. I got one more year at the very least. I'm going to force myself into the Eastern Conference and one of these good teams that doesn't have a hurt superstar, the Cavaliers and the Knicks. And I'm going to give it one more run.
Well, the Cavaliers lost Dame Lillard.
No, that's the Bucks.
I mean, the Bucks.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go to the Bucks.
No, he wouldn't go to the Bucks. No. He would go, I think it's the Cavaliers and the Knicks. I can't
think of. So, but they're going to have to swing a trade. And that means money's got to go back and forth. So, he basically got his $52.6 million. And I don't.
There's also no coach here, which is another thing.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, he wanted J.J. Redick as a coach. You know, they traded for Luka Doncic. This was supposed to be the great, you know. And now supposedly Luka's getting himself in shape and realizing what a pro takes, supposedly. And he wants to leave L.A. because he can't win a championship.
Well, he'll believe that there's a much better chance to win one in the East. That's probably what he's thinking. Like, so, you know, Mike Brown and LeBron obviously had a relationship there for a long time.
I look at his little mom and I'm just amazed that, you know, she gave birth to LeBron.
Mike Brown talking about that. So, I mean.
What is it?
No, I'm just saying, like, can't you just, like, Mike Brown. So, Ty Lue had to come in and coach that team that ended up winning the Cavaliers, right? The Cavaliers championship.
Mike Brown was with LeBron the first time in Cleveland.
Right.
The first time they went to the championship.
And when they had, 63 wins and the whole thing. Unfinished business spot.
Come on, LeBron.
Oh, man.
Hey, Mike, listen, we didn't get it done the first time. Let's go to New York together and win a championship.
Huh? Huh?
What do you think? Huh? What do you think?
What do I
do? Do you think it's a possibility?
Yeah, remotely, I would say.
Yeah, I think he's going to definitely force himself into the Eastern Conference.
I definitely think.
100%.
Because he knows he doesn't have a shot unless they do something here in free agency or trade or something like that and acquire another player or two that he would like to think that it's going to take to win.
How much do you think the ownership changed? I know Jeannie Buss is still a big part of the organization and, you know, they mentioned Jeannie and Rob Pelinka, but how much do you think the ownership change could influence something like this?
I bet you he wishes he was 10 years younger and this would have happened because that guy would have paid him $100 million a year.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, look what he did with Shohei Ohtani. He knows that LeBron's bankable. Everybody in the league knows that he's bankable.
You know, maybe LeBron hates Luka just like you. Like, yeah, that could be a thing. And I'm like half being kidding, but
right. But I don't, let me just say this. I don't hate Luka. I don't hate any athlete, maybe except John Randall. But I don't hate an athlete. I'm just telling you.
Please. I won't hear it again. I can't hear it again. I mean, maybe he just doesn't want to play with him. Maybe he's thinking like, okay, this is the direction that you're going. You acquired him. He's going to be the future. I'm obviously playing one more year. You got to build around him and I can't win in this conference and I'm out of here. I mean, it really could, you know, I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, he is 100% setting himself up. He's being respectful to the Lakers. Thank you for this partnership. Everything's great. We understand that you guys are trying to rebuild. All the love. But I got to go. It's time for me to go. And you're right. Opting out would mean that
he could have picked and chosen where he'd want to go.
However,
he would have to take less money.
Right. But he's going to get every cent.
This guy,
he's going to get every cent.
So much money. It's ridiculous. You got to think about how much money he has probably made. He's probably almost close to a billion, if not more than $1 billion.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
for him to opt into this contract tells me that Rich Paul could not stir up enough interest in LeBron that he would have
at that number. At that number.
Well, I mean, even if we're like 40 million, like 2 years, 80 million, 2 years, 90 million, something like that.
So in that scenario, you're thinking then that it's going to be tough to trade in.
That's right. That's the thing that I would look at because, you know, these agents, they talk to everybody. And come on, Rich Paul has been running the league, you know, with LeBron since LeBron came into the league. And the thing about it is that all of a sudden, you know, what happens when LeBron decides to leave? What happens to Rich Paul?
Well, I mean, he's got, well, what do you mean what happens to him?
I mean, like he has, this was like David Falk had Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rich Paul's got a bunch of other clients.
Yeah, but David Falk had a bunch of other clients too for a long time.
Yeah.
And he ran the league from an agent's perspective.
Sure.
For a long time. And I think Rich has probably had a lot of that going on for him right now. And maybe some of that stuff is going to start to wane when LeBron does ultimately retire.
All right, let's go to Jordan in Millstone Township, who's on the fan. What's going on, Jordan?
Hey, Gio, how are you, man?
Great.
Big fan of the show. I'm just listening to this conversation that you guys are having regarding LeBron coming to the Knicks, and I just want to throw this idea out there, maybe wacky, but what do you guys think about LeBron coming to the Knicks as a player coach?
Oh, man. Listen, man.
Who was like the last player coach? Is like Dave Cowens or
Bill Russell?
Bill Russell, maybe.
I mean, if anybody.
It was Cowens. I looked it up last time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, I mean. Pretty good. Good job. I mean, if anybody would think that they could do it and would ask to do it, it would be LeBron James.
Sure.
Now, would an organization allow him to? Probably not. No. But he would certainly ask. He would certainly ask about it.
I don't know if he would ask that. I don't think he would.
If the Knicks didn't have a coach, LeBron, you're familiar with who we're talking about here.
Yeah.
LeBron would be like, hey, I could coach. I got it. Don't worry about it.
Hey, dude, twice in my career I was asked to call plays. And, you know, my head was going to explode. And I feel like I could handle a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And my head was going to explode. I can't even imagine him as any player for that matter, in this day and age of social media, becoming a player coach and having to give a post-game press conference and a pre-game press conference as the coach every single freaking game.
Well, I mean, he talks after every game anyway, so you just do a two-for-one there. Like, listen, Mike Brown will be his head assistant, he'll be the associate head coach, LeBron will be the head coach and the players, player coach. It's perfect. Perfect way to end your career.
No, not for the Knicks, it's not.
Come on.
Not for the Knicks. Oh, man. No way.
All right. We will keep an eye on it because I think there's going to be more chatter as we continue to go through this offseason.
You created a firestorm.
No,
right here.
I mean, Rich Paul did. Rich Paul created a firestorm.
You're interpreting it.
I mean, there's only one way to interpret it.
I think we've broken that down and we've speculated enough, but I think that little brush fire,
yeah.
All of a sudden, boom, no water in the fire hydrants, and it just burns out of control.
Right, we've got a drought going on, and then some guy in the woods is roasting marshmallows, and next thing you know, bing, bang, boom, fire. But we're in Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quick break, we'll get right to Jerry Recco's update right after this. Josh in Springfield, what's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's going on this morning? How are we doing?
Good. What's up?
I want to talk about the Knicks. Obviously, they went with Mike Brown. My first part. I know they were further there. I know they were down the road with Jenkins too. I was curious to get your thought about why you thought Mike Brown got the nod over Jenkins. And then two, obviously they're making a couple big moves in free agency, which is great. Love to see them building up the depth. That was a big hindrance to last season, and what kind of set them back a little bit. But all to say, is this enough to kind of get them over the hump to make it further down the playoffs?
Yes.
And that's really it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I believe that it is, but I also need to see Mike Brown get the best out of Karl-Anthony Towns. But I love what they've done with the bench. And as far as, you know, hiring, if you just look, because we were talking through the resume earlier of Mike Brown, I mean, if you look through that, I mean, it is hard to argue. Now, I understand he's also a guy who... maybe you could look at some of his teams underachieving and not getting over the hump, and some of the same things
but
we say about Thibodeau.
But he could be the right guy at the right time.
But he could.
But we won't know that until this time next year.
Right. And so the reason why I believe that Taylor Jenkins was not the guy and Mike Brown was in their eyes is, you know, you had Taylor Jenkins, who was an assistant in the NBA only since 2013. He was a head coach for 6 years. You got Mike Brown in the top 10 of top winning percentages in all coaches in NBA history. And he had been to, he's won several championships as an assistant, been to a finals as a head coach, I understand, with prime LeBron, but still, you're talking about.
But this is a prime team right now.
Right.
The Knicks are a prime team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he, again, you got to connect with the players. The players are going to like you. The players are going to want to play defense. He's going to have to be a taskmaster. We have all the things that we know that we want out of a coach. And again, like I said, this seems to be like a really likable team. And the guys that they're bringing in, these two new free agents, seem to be guys that you would respect.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out there like Isaiah did and like Dante did and hopefully bring an edge and an energy to that second group of players.
Yeah. I mean, and as far as, you know, are they done? I mean, they're either done or something insane is going to happen. It's one of the two.
Don't you feel like they have to add another point guard, though?
Yeah, I mean, but that's going to be a minor move. You know, and we talked about that this morning. They are trying to do that, and their kick of the tires on, you know, they did on Russell Westbrook. They are, I guess, on Ben Simmons, which tells me that they're not really looking for, they want a guy.
Veteran minimum. It's got to be veteran minimum. That's what they have to do.
Right. Just somebody who's experienced that can give Jalen Brunson a rest, or God forbid he goes down for a period of time, that they can trust with the basketball in his hands.
Where do you keep campaign?
No. No, no, no. Let's move on from that one. Let's close that door and we'll move on. Unless it's Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, Miles McBride is a point guard.
Yeah, but I think they like him more off the ball. And he's a guy, you know, shoots threes, instant offense. They're looking for someone to settle things down, be in charge, be the captain of the offense, get the balls into the scorer's hands. I think that's what they want off the bench as far as a point guard when Jalen's not out there. You know, more of like a second unit facilitator is what they're looking
for. The one thing I would say is I would look at Mike Brown's history, where he was, who's played for him, and where are some of those players today? That's the thing that I would look at, because, you know, maybe Leon Rose is saying, is there a player or two that you really like coaching that you think would be a good fit for this?
Well, let me think. Who's the best player that Mike Brown ever coached? Let's see.
LeBron? I think it was LeBron.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's LeBron James. Yeah. And let's see. Who did basically say I'd want to see a great offseason? I'm going to request a trade.
Yeah, but the Lakers just added DeAndre Ayton.
Who is an underachieving, apparently, locker room
answer.
I hate saying that word right now after that whole story, but locker room, bad locker room guy. So, and that was like the biggest issue in Phoenix, apparently, was this guy. So, is that something to get excited about if you're LeBron James?
Oh, I see what you're saying about DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when he left Phoenix, he was not very happy.
So, I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's going to be the glue that keeps LeBron James.
Yeah, but they needed a big man.
Yeah, I know they did, and there's only so many options. But if Al Horford had gone there, as old as he is, I would think that would be the guy. LeBron would be like, yeah, we could do some stuff with him. A couple old guys out here. We got the experience. I love Al. But I don't think, like, does LeBron, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, would DeAndre Ayton be inspired to play with LeBron James?
I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so.
I would think that you would be.
I mean, he was also just playing with Kevin Durant and Chris Paul for a while there,
yeah,
too,
but,
right?
You know, another
and Devin Booker.
Plus, now he's in the heartbeat. He's in L.A. now.
Yeah.
And he's playing with LeBron and Luka. Come on.
Yeah, you better be inspired, but I don't. The bigger point being that LeBron's, Rich Paul, you know that he's going to try to get LeBron to the Knicks. And I don't think the Knicks will bite at this point, but he's going to try. There's no two ways about it. He's going to try.
Barring any minor changes that are going on right now, I think the Knicks are set. They are set, and then as the season goes on, if they need to make a trade or something like that, they can do that. But to me, their top nine are set, unless they want to trade an asset like maybe a Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. You know who LeBron James' agent was?
Oh, now what?
Well, you know who his agent was when he was being coached by Mike Brown?
I don't know. Leon Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Sniff, sniff. Scratch and sniff. Whatever you want to do.
I'm scratching. I'm sniffing.
Yeah, and you're sniffing.
I mean, Is this not a connected dot spot?
It feels like a connected dot spot, but I don't think so.
It's just like, I don't think right
so.
There.
I do not think so. I
feel like it's right there. Hmm. It's just on the precipice.
So when Jalen Brunson comes down the court and he's dribbling it and dribbling it and dribbling it, what's LeBron James supposed to be doing? Just standing around.
He's got tremendous basketball IQ, man. He'll be where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. You ever listen to that podcast with him and J.J. Redick?
You know what? They got the team right now. They got the team. And there may be a move here or there again, but they've got the team, at least for the Eastern Conference. They've got it. Stay healthy. They've got the team.
Yeah. Leon Rose actually negotiated that contract with Miami with LeBron, too, when he left.
Man, you are just relentless.
These are facts. I mean,
yeah, but why are we talking about these facts?
Because
you're relentless.
No, I'm not relentless. Relentless is you and Luka Doncic being fat. That's relentless.
I'm just telling you that if you go back to 2010, the Knicks laid everything out for LeBron and he said no. So if they did this
15 years ago,
it would be a colossal mistake. A colossal mistake.
15 years ago, Al Dukes was blacking out on vodka and proposing to girls.
They have got the team now. They got a group of guys.
A lot of things
guys.
Change in 15 years.
They've got a group of guys that are right in the middle of their prime. They're prime NBA players. They added two prime NBA-type players in free agency. They've added a head coach who's got all the experience. He's been around all sorts of organizations, championship teams. They have got what they need right now to get through the Eastern Conference Final, especially with everybody else that's going through what they're going through, with the exception of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That would be, to me, right now, the number one issue for me is, are we good enough right now to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers?
And so, I still think that Bridges, or I know, I don't think, I know Mikal Bridges is better than what he showed last year. And I think a guy like Mike Brown could unlock the Mikal Bridges we saw in Phoenix and his early stint or the early years in Brooklyn. He was a better player than he showed last year.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. I don't think it's a completely lost deal yet. I think that the loss in draft picks, I think the argument that's being made between immature Net fans and even you, Tommy, is lost on those kids and those picks. It's not about the draft picks. It's not about using the draft picks. It's about trading them for another player that could have helped this roster that maybe we would have argued would have helped this roster more than Mikal. That's the argument. It's not about the high school kid or the middle school kid that you're not drafting at 2031. Just like that pick the Nets got in the Nuggets trade and the Michael Porter Jr. trade, I don't know if they're ever using that pick. My prediction is they're not. It's going to be traded for some superstar that none of us can imagine.
Yeah, but you still, if you're going to go back and reevaluate the Knicks and the five picks, they had to do something. Like they couldn't just sit still and say, we're getting better because we're just a year older.
And you'd feel that way if tomorrow Giannis demands a trade and the Knicks could have acquired him with those picks? Would you feel that same way or would you say, man, they only waited a year?
They took their shot when they felt like they needed to take their shot.
I get that.
They wanted to maximize what probably, in retrospect, they knew was the last shot for Tom Thibodeau. And so give him every resource available to try to find success. And he got close.
Very close.
Just not good enough.
Jeff down in Florida. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing? And by the way, do the Knicks beat the Celtics without Bridges? I think the answer is a convincing no.
So, right.
And that is with them not playing well. And speaking of Brown's championship experience, he actually did win another title that you didn't mention. With the Spurs in 2003, they beat some team.
That is true.
Rutherford, I'm really not sure.
Yeah, they beat the Nets when he was a young assistant coach, learning at the nipple of Greg Popovich. Great. You're right. You're right.
He also did coach under Carlisle in his first tenure with the Pacers. So apparently, good coaches apparently like him. I wasn't, if you told me a month ago that Brown was going to be the coach, I'd be underwhelmed, but he does have the experience. It's a ton of pressure. He got fired by the Lakers after winning a first-round series and starting out 1-4. It worked out well for them because they brought in D'Antoni. And the D'Antoni
That's Lakers true. Did. It didn't exactly get better for the Lakers when they fired Mike Brown after a good season the year earlier, and that was the lockout shortened season, too. He had a good year with the Lakers his first year there. They won a round.
Right.
They lost in the second round. I'm trying to remember to who. And then he was gone after five games the following year.
Yep. His only under 500 year where he didn't get fired was his return to Cleveland, which with a young Kyrie, it wasn't a team ready to win.
I agree. He's got a very good resume. And I said this to start the show, and I stand by it. His resume in terms of success is better than the guy he's replacing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a higher winning percentage in the regular season, a higher winning percentage in the postseason. He's coached in an NBA final, something that Tom hasn't done.
Right.
So the resume is damn good.
As an assistant coach.
Yes.
Oh, he's done a lot more than Tom Thibodeau has done. And so that matters. And I think most importantly, he's going to have the respects of the veterans in that clubhouse, in that locker room. And that's a big part of it.
And you know what the other part that you're going to love, Teak, is?
What's that?
You're going to love his press conferences. Here's a little preview of Mike Brown. This went very famous about a year ago when he was talking after a Sacramento game. And he was talking about, yeah, we got to do this consistently. We have to do it possession after possession. Here's Mike Brown. And if he does this in New York, oh, you'll have a field day with it.
We just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession after 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 possession. You guys got what I'm saying?
I think that was 28.
The commitment 28, to the...
That's a full half.
That's a good one. That's the commitment to the bit right there.
Yeah.
That's a guy saying, I'm not just going to do it 5 times in a row or even 10 times in a row. And do we have official record, Tommy, that it was 28 in a row?
I saw it online that it was, I believe that. Let me get it for you here.
Now, yeah, so do it yourself.
Let's replay it for the audience and we'll count together. You want to do that?
Let's count together.
We'll count out loud. Here we go.
We just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession
one.
After possession.
Two.
After
three.
Possession. After possession.
Four.
After possession.
Five.
After possession.
Six.
After possession.
Seven.
After possession.
Eight.
After possession.
Nine.
After possession.
Ten.
After possession.
11.
After possession.
12.
After possession.
13.
After possession.
14.
After possession.
15.
After possession.
16.
After possession.
17.
After possession.
18.
After possession.
19.
After possession.
20.
After possession.
21.
After possession.
22.
After possession.
23.
After possession.
24.
After possession.
25.
After possession.
26.
You guys got what I'm saying.
26.
26.
Slightly off.
So a quarter. Full quarter.
That's a full quarter right there. That is a commitment
right
to the joke, if that's what
it
was.
I don't even think it's the joke. What's most interesting about that is that the patience that you have to not rush through that is pretty outstanding. Because most people would be like, possession after possession after possession after possession after possession after possession. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of like, I'm making a point here.
You got to show a patience.
There's a patience
yes.
that it takes to educate the questioner. And so, good job, Mike Brown.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Look, here's the bottom line around here.
I don't want that every day.
No, you got to pick your spots.
Right.
The most important thing a head coach can do around here is win. We all know that. That's number one. Number two, can you entertain us? You know, so there's two things going on here. Number one, win. Number two, entertain us. That's where Aaron Glenn has a chance to be really successful. Mm. I think he can be very entertaining.
Really?
Oh, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think him
entertaining to us because we're not asking the questions.
Yes. Oh, no, it's very intimidating.
Right.
Him threatening to wedgie Brian Costello is going to be hilarious. And I love Brian Costello.
We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this.
I can't wait. I can't wait for football season. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Listen, guys, good afternoon. Hopefully you give me enough time as you did to that 88 coalition member because I have actual value to bring to the table. So, Evan, you keep bringing up the offense of the Sacramento Kings a few years ago. Highly rated offense. Guess what, though? That's the only offense he has in the top 20. Guess who has three top 20 offenses and three in the top 17, including top 10 last year? That's Tom Thibodeau. And the thing about them falling off in the second half, you think that has a little bit to do with campaign running the offense the last 5 weeks? For 5 weeks when Jalen Brunson wasn't there.
Misleading.
And he,
you're misleading the audience. No, can I? I want to argue.
Wait a minute.
You.
You're
Ray. We're not. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm not going to cut you off. I want to retort that. You saw it in the postseason. Did they click? Did Jalen and Karl Anthony Towns click the way they should, considering the talent?
Okay, so let me answer that, and then let me get to my other point. So as far as the postseason, yeah. Did you see OKC struggle several times to get blown up by 30, which they never did in the regular season, and other teams also? That's because the way it's being called in the postseason. That's why it's not misleading. You're misleading the people because it's called differently in the postseason.
I disagree because we're arguing. Can we argue and then you can finish? I'll give you every point you want. You're a good caller, Ray. I just want to.
It's
a good back and forth. What about the rest of the regular season when Jalen was healthy? Like, you could see that their chemistry wasn't the same. There was something off. It didn't click between the two of them. So to just blame it on the way the postseason is called, I don't think it's fair.
All right, we'll agree to disagree there. I mean, they finished top four last year. They were top two almost, the entire season when Brunson was there. But also, him going 7 games as the favorite and getting blown out at home in Sacramento against the Kings is not an accomplishment. They were the favorite. They had the top-rated offense that year. And I'm not saying I don't like the hire. I'm just saying he's not better than Tibbs. And he's had LeBron James and all these other coaches with Jokic, LeBron James, and all these great players don't have 3 top 17 offenses of all time. And this is the guy, Tibbs, that we're saying sucks and has zero mind offensively, but we never give him credit, and we want to say it's misleading. It's just unfair. I'd rather have Jenkins. I wouldn't rather have Johnny Bryant. And I guess that's all I got, but I appreciate you giving me the time. It's just, Tibbs is getting a raw deal here. He has the Knicks ready to win. And so, this guy's going to win with a team that, that Tibbs developed.
Well,
he made Brunson into a superstar.
Right. If the Knicks win an NBA championship, that's going to be a fun argument. Whoa, it's Tom Thibodeau's team. Who cares? Honestly, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Who cares that Tom we all appreciate and understand how a part of this turnaround Tom Thibodeau was. He's an incredibly huge figure in the history of the New York Knicks that should always be appreciated.
I think the one thing that you can't do as a fan, as an observer, is keep talking about Tom Thibodeau. You can't make the comparison to Tom Thibodeau, because it doesn't matter. He's fired. He's not coming back. It's a sunk cost, so to speak, if you want to look at it in an economic standpoint. He's not here. He's not going to have any influence going forward other than the impact that he's left on some of these players. And so now it's up to the new head coach, this new staff, to take what Tom brought here, give him credit, put him on a platform, put him on a plateau, I should say, it's better description, and now you got to jump higher. And that's really all that you care about with Mike Brown. It has nothing to do with Tom Thibodeau. It's how does Mike Brown make it better?
You're right and you're wrong. Here's where you're right. Your point is right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's gone, he's not coming back. That's the old line I had when Jacob DeGrom left as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone, he's not coming back. Relitigating the Tom Thibodeau fight is a waste of time. So you're obviously right about that. I agree with you. But here's where you're wrong. And it sucks. But Tom Thibodeau's shadow is going to live over this team, and if things get off to a shaky start or things aren't working, naturally, you're going to hear Knicks fans like Ray and others bring up, well, they shouldn't have fired Tom Thibodeau.
Huh.
So it doesn't simply go away. Like, unfortunately, when you have success around here, for the person that follows suit, the person that follows your job,
right,
you're going to hear about that person for a while.
You know who Tibbs reminds me of? Tony Dungy. Couldn't win the big one, got Tampa, this will hit home for T, got Tampa to that certain level, they fired him, it was probably unpopular, and then Gruden won a Super Bowl with him. Now Tony ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Colts, and maybe Tibbs gets a job, wins a championship, but certain coaches can only get you to a certain point, you move on, and even if it is, those were Tony Dungy's players, but Gruden was the guy that won a Super Bowl with them.
You know, it's a better example. The reason I wouldn't use Tony is because of the last point you made. He eventually did win a Super Bowl.
Well, he got another opportunity. I don't know if Tibbs is going to get another opportunity.
I don't think he is, and that's why the comparison to Tom Thibodeau's Buck Showalter. It is.
Yeah.
It's Buck Showalter.
Yeah.
Also, not getting to a championship. You know, Buck Showalter's never managed in a World Series.
Right.
Tom Thibodeau has never managed in an or coached, obviously, in an NBA Finals. And I guess the big difference between Buck and Tibbs when you get literal is that Buck would leave places and it would be better off and the team would go up.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tibbs' case, not all his doing or his undoing, the Bulls got worse when he was gone. The T-Wolves briefly got worse when he was gone. And we'll obviously see about the Knicks. We don't know. They better be better. Or they at least at bare minimum better be the same. Especially with the expectations in the Eastern Conference. And I'll give you my honest take on the Eastern Conference, the teams around the New York Knicks. I think the Orlando Magic have made a significant jump by trading for Desmond Bane and signing Tyus Jones. I think those are two good moves. But I think Orlando taking the leap themselves is going to really be reliant on internal growth. Paolo Banchero staying healthy and taking another jump as a star player. So I think the Magic have gotten better. Can I sit here and tell you they're better than the New York Knicks right now? No. I think they've closed the gap a little bit, but no. I think the other team that's gotten better in terms of the moves they've made would be the Atlanta Hawks. I think the Hawks have certainly gone out there and improved their roster over the last few days. Kristaps Porzingis, Alexander Walker, Kennard, like, they have a deeper roster. But ultimately, when I look at Atlanta, and I wonder, is Trae Young going to be the superstar on a team that gets to the NBA Finals?
Mm.
Can he be that guy? So I think Atlanta's gotten better, but do I think they're as good as the New York Knicks? Absolutely not. I'm kind of disappointed by the Detroit Pistons. Like, I think this had a chance to be a big offseason for Detroit, a chance to really make that jump this year. And they've already lost Tim Hardaway and Dennis Schroeder, and they added my guy Caris LeVert, who I like and all. But, and also, you've got the issue with Malik Beasley, where they were planning on bringing him back, and I don't know what the heck happens now.
No, because, I mean, you got... He's innocent until proven guilty, Malik Beasley, but...
But he's not on the team.
Exactly, but I'm just saying, in general, for him, forget about the Pistons, but he was set to probably make some pretty decent money and be an important contributor.
Yeah.
Now, who the hell knows? He's in limbo.
Yeah, they added Duncan Robinson, which is like, all right, I mean, decent piece, but I thought the Pistons were one of those Eastern Conference teams that could make a big jump, and they can still make it if Cade continues to evolve as a superstar. So... And then the Bucks stuff. Like, they add Miles Turner, which on the surface really damages the Pacers, but they were going to be damaged anyway because Tyrese Halliburton's not walking through that door.
Yep.
And the Bucks get better, but now you have the uncertainty on if Giannis Antetokounmpo is actually happy. In fact, can you play the Shams thing, Tommy? Here is an update on Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is from Shams Charania on ESPN earlier this morning, giving us all the update on what the heck is happening right now in Milwaukee.
I'm told that Giannis Antetokounmpo will continue to evaluate not just what happened today, but what's happening all offseason in Milwaukee. And he took notice of this move, no doubt, but sources tell me that it's more than just tonight. And at the end of the offseason, my understanding is Giannis Antetokounmpo will ask himself, he'll look himself in the mirror, look around him, and say, can I win a championship with this team as currently constructed? And the answer to that question faces not only him, but the Bucks and Milwaukee. And again, what happens if that answer is no? The only person that knows the answer to that is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
What do you take that report as meaning?
Well, first of all, why the hell is he struggling with Giannis Antetokounmpo's name? It's like the first time he rushed it. The second time, it was like, dude, you just butchered that. Like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? It means that Giannis wants to be on a winner. He doesn't want to wallow around in the last couple of years or whatever it is, 5 years of his career on a team that's constantly trying to find itself. And so could he get frustrated and demand a trade, something that we speculated about 3 weeks ago but hasn't ever happened? It kind of just went away, which made us assume that Giannis wants to still be a Buck. But if they're going to screw around, why? I wouldn't want to be on a team that's not trying to win or doesn't put them in position to be a winner. If you're a star, no star in the NBA wants to just say, I'm good. I got my ring. I got my MVPs. I'm just going to collect paychecks for the next 5 years. No star ever wants to do that.
No, I get all that. Here's what bothers me. And I know the Nets took a lot of crap for this when it was, oh, they just listened to their superstars.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you listen to your superstar?
100%.
Like, if you want Giannis,
you should at least ask.
Well, yeah. So this shouldn't be a mystery.
Yes.
This shouldn't be a, all right, we're going to try to make moves to impress him. How about you pick up the phone and you talk to him and say.
Which shouldn't be hard.
And by the way, here's a simple thing, because I always heard this about the Nets, and I'm not sure if it was ever true, that after Kyrie Irving demanded the trade and he got traded, they had that 72-hour period where KD was still on the Nets. I had heard that the Nets were looking around the league to keep KD happy. And one of the things they were going to try to do was to trade with Toronto to get Pascal Siakam. And I guess Durant would have been happy if they did that.
Right.
And the Nets called up Toronto, who was not traded at that moment, probably looked at what it was going to cost, if it was even feasible, and probably made the determination, is this good for our franchise? And once the Nets determined it's going to cost us too much, it's not worth it, let's just blow the whole thing up,
right.
At least they were able to make the decision to blow the whole thing up. So if you're Milwaukee and you want to keep Giannis, you speak to him and say, what makes you happy? If you're not comfortable with what makes him happy, then trade him.
Yes.
If you're like, oh, cool, we'll do that. We want to keep you happy. We want you on this team for a long time. Then you go out and do it. Like, this game that Shams described seems stupid.
Mm.
Like, we're going to make moves and hope you're happy. We're going to stretch provision Damian Lillard and hope you're happy. And we're going to use that money to sign Miles Turner and hope you're happy. I mean, I like Miles Turner. Do you want Miles Turner as part of a rebuild if you trade Giannis Antetokounmpo? The answer is probably not.
No, I don't think so.
So the whole situation there feels really weird. And if Giannis is waiting until the end of the summer, so what's going to happen on September 1st? He's going to tell the Bucks, okay, I don't like what you did. Trade me. How's that going to work out?
Yeah, that's too late.
It's never too late. You can always do it, but it's not ideal.
Mm.
So the whole thing is bizarre. I stand by the fact that I don't think they're ever going to break up. But it continues to be a story, at least as reported by Shams, the way he described that. That, yeah, he's just testing him. Mm-hmm. Just wants to see how you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're with a girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like, I'm going to give you the summer. Impress me. Go out there and impress me.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. And you know what I would do, especially if I really like that girl?
Mini golf.
I'd say, what do you want to do?
Ice cream and then mini golf.
See, you guys are all mistaken. You're just guessing.
Or ice cream and mini golf at the same time.
Or, yeah, ask her.
No.
She wants
a man with confidence that makes the right decisions and reads minds. Are you new to women, Evan?
Right, exactly.
You're supposed
to know what I want before I even ask.
You are actually
know what I want before I even know what
right.
I want.
Exactly.
Your guys are 1,000% right, but wouldn't it be easier if you could just ask?
Of course it would be.
So,
but then you ask, and then it's, I don't know what I want for dinner. Then you get what dinner is, and then she didn't want it.
Do you think that's what Giannis is doing? Is Giannis your wife?
Whew. I'm not going to go there right now, but, you know, I think potentially, yeah.
Let's go to JR in Somerville. What's up, JR?
What's going on? Hey, if you're the Bucks, you don't even answer the phone if Giannis asks for a trade, especially with the franchise valuations now. If this guy leaves Milwaukee, they're going to lose so much money when it comes down to that, you know, they need to keep him up there. So that's the first thing. I think that the Turner deal will keep him up there. But my whole thing's about Mike Brown, and I love the deal. I was living in L.A. when he was coaching the Lakers, and the thing about it is that he's very malleable. Kobe put that offense into Mike Brown's system, that Princeton offense. He basically got him fired in 5 days, and Phil Jackson's the remnants of the triangle also got him there. And then last season, you know, the whole Darren Fox thing got to him when he benched he actually criticized Darren Fox, and he did things that would actually be appreciated in the New York media. So I'm all about it. Basketball wise, you know, this team needs to pass the ball. Second to last in the playoffs in hockey assists.
Yeah.
You know, OG and Mikal were under 20% from the corner. That's not going to happen. Early handoffs, using Cat, using the skills, using the two players. Sabonis and Fox were both players that did not play defense. Guess what? He's used to it. And it's something where the Kings actually did play defense. He actually got them to a good point. It's just that's the worst ownership and front office in the game of basketball. So I like the Mike Brown hire.
And I think one other thing that you didn't include, because I don't think JR cares about it. I don't care about it. Most people in the audience aren't going to care about it. But this was a factor. Is that you hear a lot about this in baseball, but it's happening in the NBA. They want him to collaborate with the front office.
Hmm.
And Tom Thibodeau wasn't doing that. And that was something Stephon Bondy's reported for a few days now about what led to the departure of Tom Thibodeau and what they're looking for in a new head coach.
And so when you say collaborate, what does that even mean?
It means communicate with the front office and let the front office give you ideas and not ignore them shut the door.
So from a X's and O's standpoint or from a participation?
Probably from an everything standpoint, honestly. From how you use your bench to minutes, limits or restrictions to growing young players to I think a lot of things. And we talk about it a lot in baseball. with how MLB front offices and managers work side by side, or the old joke, the manager has no power,
right,
and it's really the front office. But that's going on in all of sports, and I think it's happening a lot in the NBA. I certainly see it on my teams. And you don't think Sean Marks has a big hand in what Jordy's doing? By the way, Jordy worked for Mike Brown. So we got a little little connection. New York basketball and New York football has these weird connections.
What is the football
connection? You don't know the football one?
Aaron Glenn?
No. Dave? The Jets and Giants connection, yeah.
Current connection.
Absolutely.
No.
You know, well, that's interesting. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean? The deep
wide receiver
connection.
Coach?
Is well, nope.
Son of the former head coach?
Dable was on the Jets staff at one
point. Nope, not that. It has nothing to do with Brian Dable. It has nothing to do with Aaron Glenn. It has to do with the fact, similarly to Jordy working for Mike Brown in Sacramento, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson were basically competing with each other last year in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you mean the quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought you meant coaching.
No. Yeah.
You also could have gone, you know, Carlos Mendoza worked under Aaron Boone.
Crap, I forgot about that one. Wow, so we got three of them now. We got a lot of connections. Mendy used to work for Boone.
Right.
Jordy used to work for Brown. And Russell Wilson took a job from Justin Fields.